Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Thursday morning. That's right. The ninth day of May, 2024. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast at 103.3 FM. And if you're listening anywhere else on the planet this morning, you can always tune us in from KSJE.com. I want to welcome also our viewers who are joining us. There's video of this program that's streaming out to the KSJE Facebook page and also to our YouTube channel. So welcome aboard, everyone. I am glad that you are with us this morning because it's the first appearance of the new leader at Four Corners Economic Development. Tim Gibbs is my guest this morning. We'll be hearing from him, learning about his experience and what he brings to the region. That's coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE this morning. Then, of course, we'll spend some time talking about an event that's happening at the Aztec Museum in Pioneer Village a week from this Saturday, all about saving stories about the Long Walk, and talking with Navajo descendants about the Long Walk and sharing their stories, those verbal histories. That's coming up today. More details about that today at 8:50 on KSJE. Then, of course, Mick Hess will take over Studio A. He'll take us roving with the arts. It's our weekday classical music program beginning at 9:06. And don't forget, we invite you to connect with us on X and Instagram in addition to Facebook and YouTube. And if you're a podcast person, we've got KSJE podcasts, and they're available at places where you're probably already listening to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and Google Podcasts, Pandora, the list goes on and on. So check it out. Discover a new program that you may have missed recently here on KSJE. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it's currently a cloudy Thursday morning, 43 degrees at the moment. We're expecting a partly cloudy day today, maybe some scattered sprinkles throughout the afternoon. The high today, 62 in Farmington. Cloudy tonight with a low near 46. And tomorrow, partly cloudy skies again on Friday with a high of 66 and a low of 46. For Saturday, partly cloudy once again with a high of 63 and a low of 44. Partly cloudy again on Sunday with a high of 67 and a low of 45. But then take a look at Monday and all of next week. Things warm up quite a bit with lots more sunshine, temperatures in the mid to upper 70s next week. I'll be back with my guest right after this on KSJE.
KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910.
And back in Studio A with my guest this morning, as I mentioned, Tim Gibbs is here. He is the new executive director of Four Corners Economic Development, a guy I've been wanting to have here on the show for a long time since he got to town. Mr. Gibbs, good morning. Welcome to KSJE.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the Four Corners area.
It's been a nice transition. I've enjoyed it. My family is myself and my wife, Beverly. Mm-hmm. We've been here 12 weeks as of Monday.
Who's counting? But okay.
Well, I'm trying not to count the days.
Right.
I'm just looking forward to handing off the title of new guy to somebody else. But
right.
I haven't found anyone that's newer than me yet.
Not yet, but that will happen. So I think a lot of folks are happy to have you here as the new leader of Four Corners Economic Development. That is the main economic development organization that is funded by all the local governments and other industries and companies and things like that that support the efforts to bring more economic diversity to the area, and has a long and storied history here. And you do too.
I do. You know, I got involved in economic development when I was 18 years old. And back then, economic development was way different.
Sure.
It wasn't near as predominant as it is today. Back then, if you did that, you did six other things as well. But I'm a kid from Appalachia. And the reason why I say that is it makes sense when it's described. I was watching the best and the brightest pack up and leave because there was an opportunity, or they didn't have hope.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't think they could make a life and do as well as their parents or better than their parents had. I wanted to do something about that. I wanted to do something government, but I wanted it to be meaningful to help people have the opportunity to live in their community of choice.
Right.
And that was economic development.
Sure.
Now, since that time, it's gotten a lot more predominant or important to a lot of folks because you really need it. And the definition of economic development is different for a lot of different people. First and foremost, we want to take care of what we got. And there is always forces from the outside that's affecting your economy. And we recognize that and we do what we can do. But first and foremost, we want to take care of the businesses we have and the challenges they have and the opportunities they have as well. So take care of what you have and then be in a position where you can strategically grow in ways that's beneficial to the community.
Right.
That's a very broad definition.
Sure.
But that's who we're about. Now, we're a nonprofit organization. Now, we get about 50%, a little more than 50% of our funding from the private sector. We do have government partners. We can do very, very little by ourselves. But if we coordinate, if we collaborate, if we're the big tent, if we're the organization that can help find a vision, implement the vision, do tangible things, take them on and get them done, many, many times that works very, very well with government as partner and the private sector.
And also, it seems like what the organization has done in the past is to be able to kind of regionalize some of these projects or have some of these entities working together as a unified front when it maybe comes to grant applications or other types of things to say, hey, look at us, we're all working together. We don't have four different municipal entities or what have you, all fighting for that same piece of pie.
Well, I was listening to your introduction earlier about the channels and where you're broadcast from and where your audience would be from. And for anyone to think there's not a Down Valley effect from Durango, for anyone not to think that we're a region, and really businesses think about it. They don't think about where a city line ends and where the county begins or another municipality picks up.
It's a market.
It is. It is. It's a workforce. It's a living, breathing thing. So we have to collaborate and work with others and play nice with others.
Sure.
We have to understand that each one of us have a forte and have their own constituents that we answer to, but there's a collective good as well.
Right.
I recently just purchased a house here. Got moved in. Thank you. I've hauled off four loads of boxes already.
Right.
Everything you can strap on a truck, a new truck I bought here, by the way.
Okay.
But when we were looking for a house.
Now, you don't have to do all this economic development by yourself. You can have other folks helping you.
Oh, no.
Buying a house and buying a truck. But we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
No leakage there.
Okay.
But I've attended a lot of regional meetings, as many as possible. Because you get one chance to make a first impression. It's really important for them to see the organization, a stand up, you know, the opportunities we represent, and be the gateway to the world as well. You know, we got a long time today to talk about, and I know I'll be back as well, about things. But so many times when we talk to people from outside this region, the Four Corners region, about the opportunity that this market, this people, that the natural resources that we have, we talk about it collectively. It's not that we have to convince them or they have any negative connotations. They never thought of us. We've never been at the table. We've never been knocking on the door and said, what about us? What about here? That's something we can do.
Right.
And when we do what we can and do it on a high level, we can compete.
Sure. Well, and it's, as you mentioned, with folks coming in from outside the area, and there's a lot of folks who maybe live one place and work another, and a lot of commuting that happens around here. I mean, all you have to do is go by the parking lot at the mall or Sam's Club or Target or Walmart and see the different license plates to know just how quickly that stuff is happening.
It's a crazy world.
People are moving in.
It is. It's a crazy world out there. And especially go by those parking lots on Saturday.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Tuesday, Wednesday, or any other day of the week. This is such a regional center for so many things. I heard the advertisement you were doing earlier for San Juan Regional Medical Center. It's incredibly important, not just to keep us healthy, but as an economic driver to this community. This college,
right?
Same thing. It's hard to not driving around this college and seeing how many people are here and what it does and how it increases the quality of life and the economic driver it is for the businesses in this region. Many times I'll use the analogy that we have the baton, and we're directing.
Okay.
And we're bringing the parts and pieces together to make music, for there's a collective gain, rather than we want to make 1 and 1 equal 3.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're doing our job right, that's who we are, and that's what we can do. And so bringing things, when we're out talking to businesses, and I think in my 12 weeks, I think I've already been out in front of, I think, right at or a little less than 40 different businesses, where we are asking them, tell us about your business. What's keeping you up at night? And what opportunities do you have? And if you could get some help to make things better, what would it be? And let us help facilitate that.
Right.
It may be 100 different things that we're representing, even the college and the training programs they have,
sure,
or healthcare or workforce or marketing, whatever it may be. We're that convener of trying to bring the parts and the pieces together to help our existing businesses and also put together the opportunity to market this region to the outside world for growth and development.
Right. You talked a little bit about your past and working in places that have been through some major, maybe economic changes,
yeah,
major industries that are going through some changes. That's what we're seeing here. I don't think it's any secret that the energy industry is going through some change, and that's impacting this area. So that's something obviously that you've got to be paying attention to as well, right? Some of those shifts in those long-standing industries that have supported so much. I mean, they've given to a lot of nonprofits, and mm-hmm, and now they are maybe smaller than they were, and other companies are moving in, maybe smaller companies buying up those well sites, for example, or yeah, what have you. This is the longest question ever, but I'm getting to it. But my question to you is, you know, how does that work for a community? Or what do you think about what that means for this community and what we need to be ready for and maybe open-minded about changes?
Well, the first thing I want to say is economic development agencies do not create jobs. I haven't created a job anywhere. I've helped businesses create jobs, and I've helped them pick locations of where that would take place,
mm-hmm,
which has had employment and investment come to areas that we worked in. So it's businesses that create jobs.
Sure.
Okay, first and foremost.
Fair. Yeah.
That being said, there's always transitions in the economy. And I'm not downplaying those and the factors that go into what drives those. But I don't know how many of your viewers or the people listening, there was an automobile company called Studebaker throughout the 50s. They just made clunky family-type cars. Well, before they made cars, they made wagons. And they had to transition because their entire business model was upended. Because no, people weren't using horse and buggy and wagons anymore. They were going to both electric back, mm-hmm, then, and internal combustion engines. Because
right,
there was electric cars back in the 20s. It was pretty predominant.
That's right.
This isn't the first time that economies have went through transitions. Now, energy is not going away, but the application and the type of energy is changing. There is opportunity for hydrogen. There's all kinds of opportunities out there. We, in the 12 weeks I've been here, about 3 weeks ago, we applied for a Department of Energy grant. A couple $100,000, we applied for a grant because what we found out was Los Alamos National Labs had done what they call an iWest study, where they had looked at the building blocks of energy and how they could be applied to other things. And they were looking at helium, hydrogen, natural gas. They were looking, if you break those down on a molecular basis, what can you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
What could you?
Right.
Now,
sure,
what it didn't do is it didn't commercialize that. It didn't say, let's start a fertilizer company. Let's make pneumonia out of it. It didn't take it to that next step, which we would like to.
Right.
Because we have natural God-given attributes here that are a competitive advantage to us. We have to look at how to apply those and to maintain where we can and grow strategically using those where we have competitive advantages. And then it makes sense for this company to be here, for them to take that and apply it in this way. So there is a big component of vision of this. And many, many times when you do research and when you have these national labs and you have people, New Mexico Tech and New Mexico State working towards these goals with us, we can explore things like carbon sequestration and using the same attributes that the gas came out of to put gas back down, possibly. Mm-hmm. There are many, many things that we can do that will help set the stage for businesses to be able to take advantage of the economy of today and the economy of tomorrow.
True. But do you find that maybe some folks hear that and they're a little scared by it or a little uneasy about it because it is not the same as it has been? And it's a big leap of faith kind of thing in some cases?
Well, I think everyone has the right to have those feelings. We have those feelings as well. I will say this. In economic development, there's about 2,000 organizations that do what we do nationwide. Every single day, we're competing against every one of those. And each day I'd like to think towards the end of the day is, did we make more hay than they did? Each one is trying to take their attributes of their community and build upon them for the future. That's what we're doing here as well. Will we always be successful? No, we won't. Will all the businesses that we try to recruit and bring in either come here or be successful? No, they won't. But we're going to act like every day is the day where we make the difference for the community going forward. So I think skepticism is not positive by any means, but if it was easy, we probably would have done it a long time ago.
True. Right.
But right. We're working towards trying to support what we have, find new applications for the things that we have that other people don't, and lead the way for our region and for our country.
And the types of jobs, the types of careers or industries that you would like to see here, in a perfect world, obviously, right? I mean, you want those higher paying jobs, you want those other things that will maybe compare to the or add to the community, to the economic base of the community, things along that line. And of course, that's not always possible to pick and choose who you want to come and who you want to appeal to from your community.
You know, I go back. My father was a commercial industrial electrician. He ran his own company for 47 years. And I don't want to bring everybody down, but he passed away about 5 years ago. And when I was deciding what to put, how we were going to immortalize him, you know, I wanted to put something about, first and foremost, he was a good dad. But if I could have spelled it out and had room, I would have said he made the difference in at least 100 men's lives and their families' lives,
right,
where he gave them a trade where they could go anywhere in the country and make a living wage, that they had a talent that was in demand. They had a skill. That's what we're trying to do. It's just on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to make certain that people have the opportunity to live a better life. So family wage, living wage jobs are important. You know, I've got some numbers in front of me, and it talks about what the economy is today and retail trade and construction and manufacturing and those type things. Good jobs are important. You know, I mentioned the hospital earlier.
Sure.
The hospital operates under a system of a payer mix. How many of the people have private insurance and how many people do not have insurance or are under the government for care? And there are completely different funding models. It's incredibly important and hard for them to have somewhat of a balance between who has insurance and who doesn't have insurance, for they can provide the services that we all use and have. So there is an emphasis on us trying to help the economy grow in areas where family wage jobs are predominant. There is.
Right.
Now, as you pointed out, we can't always do that. And we don't create the jobs. We're enabling the companies and removing barriers to the companies and trying to get them to do it here. So it's a difficult proposition, but it's one that we can make a difference. We can make a meaningful difference. And it's not all swinging for the fences and trying to get 1,000 jobs. We're going to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also singles and doubles as well, and every once in a while stealing a base. So those things are important. And even that, one of the first meetings I had was with the hospital. Hospital told me they had 180 open positions.
180. I just wanted to emphasize that for the audience.
And some of those positions, the average was about $100,000 a year for those positions. And I'm the first one to say that Mark Twain had it right. There's facts, lies, and statistics. You can do a lot of things with numbers, but these are real numbers, tangible numbers.
Right, right.
So what does it take to fill those positions? Because if I made a press release today that Foresaid, I'm giving ourselves credit, okay? Mm-hmm. If Foresaid had recruited a company with 180 jobs at $100,000 a year, I think we would be headlines on most of the TV stations in Albuquerque today.
I think you would.
It's substantial.
Sure.
But yet we have that segment of the economy that's not filled. Well, they have to be qualified. They have to be trained. They have to have their certificates or their degrees. And they have to exist here. And so here at this college, they're doing their part. There's been meetings. They're working on that. They're doing everything they can to train up and make certain that they have the opportunities for their students for those jobs. But that takes time, too.
Right.
To get through some of the programs and certificates. There may not be enough people here that have the interest to be I'm just making this up, x-ray tech or nutrition or whatever
those jobs are.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There may not be those people here. And then I mentioned earlier, I just bought a house. Well, historically, if you look at the multiple listing service for real estate, MLS, there's 300 or 400 houses at any one time in this region, not just the city of Farmington.
The region.
Yeah.
Right. Historically.
Now there's 100, 120, maybe 130. So there's a real shortage for housing, and especially for affordable housing or maybe quality family housing. So there's a real shortage on that. So it's even more difficult to bring people in if you don't have the housing for them to be able to move into. Now, there's a lot of attributes and positive things going on in these communities that make people say, hey, this is a good place to bring my family. But we have to work holistically on a lot of different things to help people like the hospital or whoever it may be able to achieve their goals and get the people they need, even for the things that are existing here that we need to fill those jobs.
Right. Understood. And so some of the jobs are here, is what you're saying. They're just not filled. And working on the other things, I mean, it is all really interdependent on a lot of different things. The housing market, the job market, all those different things. I mean, I think everyone would probably agree with us that $100,000 a year job is a pretty good job.
It's a great gig.
It's not a radio job, let me tell you, but it's a pretty good gig. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that we have to do, and we have to look at it holistically of what we can do and what we can't do and what others can do and how we can share and how we can kind of foster that type of growth.
And some of those things you cannot control, as we've talked about, too. I mean, you can't control the housing market. You can't control the mortgage rates. You can't control a lot of those things. And that's kind of also what impacts the job that you're able to do, I would think.
Well, and that's part of the reason why even doing this interview and getting out and speaking is really important, because we're sharing with people opportunity. We are instilling, if you're an entrepreneur and you see a hotel that maybe is past its prime, well, that may be a perfect thing to acquire and to turn into condos and go to some of these larger employers who are having these issues saying, hey, maybe we can do a deal.
Right.
Maybe we can do something that's going to make it easy for your employees. It's going to make it better for you, and it's going to give me a level income where I can pencil out making an investment to make something happen here.
Sure. And is that some of the things that maybe Foresaid could try to coordinate with the municipal entities or some other types of things to say, hey, you've got a big building that's empty. Can we offer some incentives for a developer or something to try to get some people in the room together to at least talk about these things?
Well, yes, but it's a little harder than that, and especially if it's just a big building.
Yeah.
But if it's a big building that's already been subdivided up and already got bathrooms in it and already got the plumbing in and already has been done in a way that is easier to do those things, possibly. But we're an idea organization. We have to be, and we have to have vision. And many times, we have to go and like, hear us out. Come on, hear us out. What about this?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this doesn't turn out, but the conversation on this turns out to that.
Right.
So, I mentioned having the baton. It would be a whole lot easier if we had the magic wand. It truly, I say that in jest. But in every opportunity, there's a way for people to make money. And if not, then it's a hallucination more than an opportunity. So I hope, in real estate, there's a term, functionally obsolete lessons, when things get to the point where it makes more money for them to be redeveloped and stay in their current state. That's kind of what this is we're getting to the point where there's a new day in front of us and new opportunities in front of us. How do we take advantage of that while still holding on to the fabric that makes us who we are?
Right. And I think what I see from my perspective is that we have a lot of folks kind of all pulling in the same direction, which is somewhat maybe unique among communities across the country. As I mentioned, I think in the beginning of the conversation, you've got a lot of entities that all want to see Foursight succeed and economic growth in their communities, and they don't maybe want to work independently. They want to join forces to try to do this all together.
I sometimes use a word, and I'm hesitant to use it because it has such important connotations. Sometimes I will say if a community is a little hungry, and I don't mean hungry as in, and I hope that no one in here is thinking about happen to think about what their were food and those food security and those type things. But what I meant is if we are striving for a better economy, if we are all, it means a lot to each one of us for different reasons for us to work together and find a way to take that next step. That's incredibly important. And that's what brings organizations like Foursight, and not just Foursight, but the city of Farmington, San Juan County. We met with Bloomfield, city of Bloomfield, yesterday, and just their enthusiasm and their opportunities as well. Almost all of these meetings, I've realized that I have two ears and one mouth. So I should do twice as much listening as talking. Not that you could tell it from today. I apologize.
That's all right.
But we were talking to them about what their plans were and how we could partner with their plans. Now, I do think there's an opportunity when you have a new set of eyes. And I've worked economic development for a long, long time in a lot of areas before, including some areas that had some similarities to Farmington here and San Juan County. But we're trying to listen, and we're trying to redefine what success looks a little bit like. Sure, we want to build some industrial parks. We want to do some things that hasn't been done before, for we can have the parts and pieces where we can attract others to share in this economy and provide opportunity for our citizens. But it's going to take a little bit of time. We've got the Navajo Nation, we've got four cities, we've got the county, we have all these independent agencies that are working towards their collective goals, and we're trying to find a way to unite and make one and one equal three.
Got it. And there are some ongoing projects too that we shouldn't dismiss either. There's a big project going on. You mentioned to me before we came on the air this morning, later this summer, a broadband initiative. Been talking a lot about that to try to increase speeds all over the community, all over the region. And that's a big deal because that could lead to work from home folks. It could lead to other industries and things along that line. That's another big focus, I think, of Foursight.
It is. We have an initiative, a broadband initiative going on now, and we have a summit, a broadband summit, that's going to be held here at the college on June 25th. You can go to Four Corners Economic Development website and sign up for that. It's free. And the reason why it is so incredibly important for us to have countywide high-speed internet, both speeds that come down and speeds that go up.
Right.
If you're in the city of Farmington, you have choices, and some of the other cities as well. You have choices about providers and speeds and what makes best economic sense for you. But a lot of places in this county does not. Even accessibility, other than satellite, and some of the things are more expensive, or by phone,
right,
is very, very limiting. And this isn't just about being able to stream Netflix or Hulu or whatever your streaming
Or this
service
show.
is.
Or this show.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, sir.
It's about your connectivity to the world. Amazon says that 90% of the product that's sold on their platform is from small to medium business. And that most of that comes out of a garage, a house, or some of that type thing. Well, if you don't have high-speed internet, you don't have the opportunity as well. In the 1920s, the United States had the co-ops that were formed and the rural electrification initiative that brought electric to people in rural areas that probably wouldn't have seen it for 20, 30, 40 years because it just wasn't economical to build out the lines for
sure.
The number of meters they were going to sign up. The
houses were too far apart.
They were. That's what's happening with broadband. And we're living in a really, really unique time. And by the way, we're a non-political organization. We dance with whoever brings us the ball. We have to be able to go to Albuquerque. We have to be able to go to Santa Fe. We have to go anywhere.
Sure.
And make the case for what we have to offer. But right now, in this time, and I'm just going to call it federal stimulus.
Yes, right.
There is over 120 organizations that touch broadband, a lot of which funding, state and federal. Our initiative is trying to navigate that. We're not going to be out climbing poles running fiber, but we're going to help communities see their options and find their way and find funding and do different things for both the middle mile, which is stuff that goes pole to pole to pole,
right,
and the last mile for the connectivity for people, for them to have access to high-speed internet.
Even faster than we have now.
It's just incredibly important. If you don't have it, your economy is going to be passed by. It is as important. Well, it's very important. I was going to say as water, electric, and those type things, but it's not as important as water. Okay, it
right.
may be as important as electric for some people.
Sure,
but it's an initiative that we.
But it's almost like a utility. I think it's almost folks feel of it as a utility. If the internet goes down, you know, it impacts so many things that maybe in their lives beyond their streaming, yeah. beyond their able to just, you know, log on and pay their bills, check their bank statement, go to school, do all those things.
Safety. And now right. are even right. how many of you can pick up your phone and I'm just making this up. I don't know exactly what the payer cost is for healthcare here yet. I will. But a lot of you can pick up your phone and say, tell your doctor or your PA, hey, I'm sick.
Right.
I think I have a sinus infection.
Through your phone.
Yeah, through your phone.
Yeah.
And then they go through 5 or 10 minutes with you and then say, okay, I'll call in your antibiotic or whatever.
Right.
And it'll be at the corner for
right.
it. I mean, this is the way that broadband is going into all sectors. Education. I'm completing a doctorate right now, and I've been on campus twice in 3.5 years. And everything was done online in a learning community.
Right.
So the applications are everywhere, and we're just getting started.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Tim Gibbs, very excited to meet you and to have you here and to learn that you want to come back. At least I think you do.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, it's great to have you here. Foresaid will be here in some capacity every month. It's our commitment to economic development here at KSJE. Mr. Gibbs, great to meet you. Thank you for bringing your family here and continued success. We look forward to talking to you again.
I've enjoyed it, and I look forward to the process, getting to know every single corner of this four regions area, and taking advantage of the beauty and meeting every single person I can.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that, so we'll get you out there. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Tim Gibbs, the new Executive Director of Four Corners Economic Development, my guest right here on KSJE.
KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, whose vision is to deliver world-class care, making life better for the communities they are privileged to serve. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so residents can live life better here. San Juan Regional Medical Center, community-owned and operated, here for you.
KSJE is supported by the Family Crisis Center, presenting an important conference about human trafficking, Wednesday, May 29th at the Farmington Civic Center. The conference is free. The goals of the conference are to bring awareness to the community about sex and labor trafficking, identify significant indicators of human trafficking, and provide help for those who may have experienced trafficking. Law enforcement, counseling, social work, nursing, or those in the legal field are encouraged to attend. Find out more at FamilyCrisisCenterNM.org. KSJE is supported by the River Reach Foundation, presenting Riverfest this Memorial Day weekend in Farmington. Music, crafts, food, and more can be found along the Animas River trails in Farmington. Riverfest kicks off Friday afternoon, May 24th, and continues Saturday and Sunday. Celebrate the rivers in Farmington with this jolt-worthy event. Find out more online at riverfestnewmexico.com. Riverfest, presented by the River Reach Foundation. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.